welcome to UFOs Above Canada, a nighttime podcast series exploring the people, the events, and the concepts that surround the Canadian UFO experience. If you have a personal story to share or would like to discuss this topic, join the discussion on the UFOs Above Canada Facebook group.
Welcome back to UFOs Above Canada. In the last episode of this series, MJ Benias of Terra Obscura joined us to help add context to what UFOs Above Canada is exploring. In short, UFOs are simply unexplained aerial objects, phenomena, or events. Considering the topic through this lens takes the question of belief off the table. There's no need to debate it. It's a fact that there are UFOs above Canada. With that said, however, not every light in the sky or artifact appearing in a photograph is a UFO. In fact, it's only a small number of the many Canadian UFO reports that end up unexplained. These rare sightings are not what we're going to be focusing on tonight. In this episode, I hope to clear the air, both literally and figuratively, leaving the actual UFOs a safe place to zip around. To accomplish this celestial miracle, I've called upon the guy who gets my vote for Canada's most informed UFO researcher. Tonight, I'll ask Chris Rutkowski, what isn't a UFO? To my good-looking listeners, I've just learned some troubling news. Turns out 66% of men start losing their hair by age 35, and the worst part is, by the time we notice our hair loss, it's already too late. If we're going to try to do something about this, we got to do it before what is statistically likely to happen starts happening. Fortunately, we're losing our hair during a time of science, medicine, and 4hims.com. 4hims.com is the one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Their medical-grade solutions, real doctors, and well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions can help us keep our hair. There's no dirty waiting room and no awkward doctor visits. Simply answer a few questions, a doctor will review your case, and prescribe you. If you're uncertain about it, it gets even better. Nighttime listeners get a free trial month of everything you need to keep your hair for just $5 today. Right now, while supplies lasts. See 4hims.com for full details on this great offer that would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. So don't wait till your damn hair falls out. Go to 4hims.com/night. That's forhims.com/night. 4hims/night.
My name is Chris Rutkowski, and I'm a science writer. I've been writing about the strange and unusual phenomena such as UFOs for quite some time. I started investigating in the mid-1970s. I have about 10 books out on the subject, and I just like to share with people and help people understand what the UFO phenomenon really is and try and get to the bottom of some of the explanations, what's really going on, what is just conjecture, and, you know, is there any good science behind it, and is there anything that we can really put our money on?
And one thing you do, I had you on my show in the past, is you do the compiling of statistics for Canadian UFO sightings. Can you just tell me a bit about the survey you do?
Well, since the late 1980s, I've been compiling and publishing something called the Canadian UFO Survey. And what happened was that as I was investigating in the 70s and the 80s, I realized there wasn't really a good way of understanding how many UFO reports there really were in Canada, and, you know, whether one province had more than another, whether some sightings had more lights that were red or orange, or you know, what were the prevailing shapes, that type of thing. No one had actually taken the time to compile some of these statistics. And so I began talking with my colleagues from BC right to Newfoundland. And I said, you know, can we just get our data together? And, you know, I'll put it together. I'll try and understand exactly what's really going on in terms of the UFO reports. And so I started doing that, and it started out slow, but slowly but surely I started gathering more data. And I would say by the mid-90s, I was getting quite a good snapshot of what was really being reported in Canada, not necessarily to UFO organizations alone, but to government organizations, to RCMP in some cases, to private organizations, Transport Canada, and so forth. And it was interesting to see exactly what the nature of UFOs really were.
What in the world? What is that?
Oh my God, look at it, it's all over the place.
That's a UFO.
During your history with the UFO mystery and looking into these things and investigating, I want to hear some common explanations for what initially appears to be an unidentified object or phenomenon in the sky. So like in other words, like what are some things that people see that puzzle them but aren't necessarily unidentifiable? Could you just kind of give me a list of some of the most common things you would see reported?
Sure. Well, as background, you know, with Canadian UFO Survey, there's somewhere around 1,000 UFO reports that are filed every year in Canada alone. So that's a fair number, you know, about three per day or so. That's quite a few cases. And of course, not every one of those is a spaceship. In fact, I can't really say that any of them are spaceships. But what we can say is that there's a small percentage every year we can't explain. But of those that were able to puzzle over, we know that some turn out to be aircraft. We seem to think that aircraft are fairly common and we see them all the time, but you know, at night, low on the horizon, maybe you can't really see their strobe lights, or maybe you see one wing that's obscured. You may not realize that it's an aircraft flying along. And even high-flying aircraft may not show any strobe lights whatsoever because of the distance involved. So you may only see a small, tiny satellite-like, star-like light moving high in the sky. And that could be a high-flying aircraft. And I just mentioned satellites. There's another thing. There are, you know, thousands upon thousands of satellites that have been launched by a number of countries that are easily observable in the sky. A number of websites can actually tell you where to look and predict where the satellites can be seen. Some of these are very bright, like the International Space Station. Some are very, very dim. Some fly in pairs. Some fly in threes. They may look a little odd. In fact, if you see three lights moving in the sky, sometimes people say that this is a triangular craft with lights on all points. But actually, there are actually three satellites that are moving together, usually on reconnaissance missions. But even the International Space Station, it's so bright sometimes that people are certain that it's something that's very close, and yet it's something that's, 150 miles up in the atmosphere. So our eyes tend to play tricks on us, and sometimes our desire to see something unusual overwhelms us and makes us think that something that has an explanation doesn't.
I often hear people say what was seen in the sky was likely to be, you know, blank planet, Jupiter or something of that nature. I've never seen something in the sky that I thought could be explained by a planet. Do people see planets and mistake them for UFOs as often as it seems when you're reading about this stuff online?
Unfortunately, yes. And I can say this with some authority because I'm actually going through all the thousands of cases every year, and case after case after case. And there are many instances where there's a bright light seen, 20 degrees above the horizon, for example, flashing different colors, and a person watches it for not just a few minutes, but sometimes a few hours at a time as it slowly descends toward the horizon. And in most cases, those do turn out to be planets, Jupiter, sometimes Venus, and Saturn. But again, people, for some reason, if they are convinced that it's not a planet and they're not familiar with what it is, then that sometimes can play tricks. And it's easy to figure out because you can use star charts and some planetary programs to figure out exactly what's in the sky. And the trick for me sometimes is to ask the person who's making the report, well, this seems to be in the western sky. Did you see Venus, by the way, because it was also in that direction? And if they say yes, they saw Venus as well, they saw this, you know, their UFO plus Venus, then we can talk a little bit more about what this might have been. But if they say, no, I didn't see any Venus, well, then they probably were looking at Venus, because we know for a fact that it was exactly where it should have been. And planets, even though they don't twinkle like stars do, because of the way atmospheric distortion affects the light from some astronomical bodies, they can change color. They can sometimes change shape and dance around. Some of the most common descriptions is this light was stationary, but danced around back and forth and up and down very quickly. Well, you know, that's simply an illusion caused by stars and planets dancing around in the atmosphere. They actually don't move. They're still right there. And sometimes we can prove to witnesses that that's what they're observing. But some are very staunch and say, oh, I know that this wasn't a planet. I know for sure that this was a UFO. And we just say, okay, that's your belief. That's fine. It's just a matter of what the reality is versus what the perceived reality is.
And how often are you seeing cases where the likely explanation is something like a meteor or a comet or some kind of, you know, not star or planet, but some kind of moving object in the sky that can be explained like that?
Well, certainly the most common moving objects in the sky are planes and satellites. But sometimes we do get reports of fireballs and bolides. A bolide is sort of a fragmenting fireball. It's a piece of a comet that's entering the Earth's atmosphere. And they can look very spectacular with long trails and sometimes sparks and things flying off of them. Some very bright bolides can persist about 3, 4, 5, 10 seconds at the very, very most, but usually something like 5 to 7 seconds. Very, very spectacular, and they really are quite unusual. And we do get those at least several times per year across Canada. The ideal situation, of course, is where sometimes these things are able to actually reach the Earth. So these are all happening far up in the atmosphere. They only look like things that are very close. In fact, the typical description of a fireball or bolide is like an aircraft that's on fire and about to crash just behind the next hill or just behind the building across the street. As soon as we hear those types of descriptions, we know that we're probably dealing with a fireball or a bolide.
Take it from me, listeners. Hiring used to be hard. There were multiple job sites, near endless stacks of resumes, and a confusing review process. Fortunately, the dark ages of hiring are behind us. Today, in an age of magic and wonder, hiring can be easy. No longer will you need to accompany a mystic on a quest to interpret some ancient scribblings deep within Earth's darkest caverns. In fact, you only need to go to one place to get this done. ZipRecruiter.com/night. Here's how it works. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. Then, using their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans through thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience, and it invites them to apply for your job. But they don't stop there. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter's techniques are so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. And right now, Nighttime listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/night. That's ZipRecruiter.com/night. ZipRecruiter.com/night. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
And
today, in the modern world, really drones seem to be kind of a hot topic. Are you seeing drones as a likely explanation for a lot of recent sightings?
You know, drones are starting to be very common. They certainly are throwing a wrench into a lot of UFO sightings. Up until about 5 years ago, they weren't quite as common. And although we had the old Chinese lanterns, which are still quite common and quite reported, but drones are really taking on a life of their own. I mean, there are festivals now where hundreds of drones are sometimes flown at the same time. Even just three or four or five can take on some interesting shapes in the sky and make people think they're looking at something really extraordinary. But, you know, they're just another thing that people can often mistake for UFOs. And it does tend to make the role and the actions of a UFO investigator quite challenging. You know, to me, if I saw something in the sky, like 100 lights moving in the sky in various formations, I wouldn't automatically think it was a flying saucer or aliens coming to visit. I would just automatically know that it was some kind of drone display. So as long as you keep a good common sense attitude about what is possible to be seen in the sky, I think, it allows us to rule so many things out and allow us to say, no, there's a few things that we can't explain, and this is definitely not a drone. This is definitely not a star or a planet or a plane and so forth. Because every year, there still are a small percentage of cases that we simply can't explain, but it's only through investigation and patience, the grunt work, so to speak, that we can actually make some advances in ufology to really winnow out all the cases and so that we are left with the good unexplained cases.
Good morning, Jordan. So I can't believe it took me this long to tell you this. On Friday, Laura and I and my colleague at work were driving to work on Highway 11 from Camelton to Dalhousie when we saw up in the sky a kind of odd oval-shaped object, very, very reflective. It was lit up like a light bulb in the sky, but you could tell it was like reflecting light. And of course, neither one of us smart enough to get our phones out. So Laura's watching intently while I'm driving and mostly watching. And then, poof, just like that, it was gone right before our eyes.
Sometimes the argument that I hear from people is that, you know, if UFOs are real, how come we don't get photographs? Well, we do get photographs. We get many, many photographs. In fact, the number of photographs submitted with UFO reports is rising every year because the argument is everybody has a cell phone and every cell phone has a camera, so we should be getting all UFO reports with photographs. The problem is that most cell phone cameras aren't designed to take photographs of small lights moving in a completely dark sky, which is the average UFO report. Usually cell phone photos of things moving in the night sky are virtually useless because there's no reference points whatsoever. And even ones that are taken during the day, I simply cannot believe, and I can tell you this because I'm going through case by case by case throughout the entire year, how many photographs are submitted as UFOs during the day of people who are unfamiliar with basic camera optics, because they'll say, I took a photograph of the sunset or things in the night sky or something in the daytime sky with some clouds, and I didn't see anything at the time, but you know, when I went put it on my computer and put up the screen, there are these unusual blue orbs and things moving around from frame to frame, and I didn't see it, but these UFOs are all over the place, and they're lens flares and optical reflections from inside the sensors of the camera lenses, I simply cannot tell you how many cases are like this. I would say I was going through just the summer of 2017, so June, July, and August, and I would imagine at least a dozen, maybe more reports that have actually been filed with organizations are simple lens flares. So sometimes people have such a desire that they just, it doesn't really occur to them that maybe what they photographed or seen is not really a UFO.
And now, where you've been running the survey for so long, compiling and examining this information, I won't hold you to an exact number, but if you can give me an idea of a percentage of all the reports that you see, roughly what percentage of them are you unable to explain?
Well, I actually can give you that because we did a 25-year study. We're in our 28th or 29th year now, but a few years ago, we did a 25-year retrospective. And across 25 years, there were 13% that were unexplained. Now, that's actually a little bit higher than I had thought, because typically every year we're somewhere in the neighborhood of high-quality unknowns, probably in the neighborhood of 2 or 3%. But this is a general pass, so 13%.
So there you have it. Although Chris and I both preach the gospel of UFOs above Canada, we also agree there are plenty of identifiable objects and phenomena being touted as miraculous across social media and beyond. There's one thing I do want to say about this episode. Efforts were made to avoid appearing interested in debunking sightings or dismissing the phenomena. Like you heard Chris say in our talk, unquestionably, there are a portion of UFO reports that go unexplained. That said, I believe those interested in the phenomena can benefit from better understanding some of the less common but still identifiable objects that may be seen above our heads. And again, to echo some of the comments Chris made, if you see something strange, take a picture and take a good look at it and report it. In fact, the reporting of and investigation into UFO reports will be a topic of a future entry in the UFOs Above Canada series. Now with that, we'll conclude this episode of the Nighttime Podcast. I want to thank Chris Rutkowski both for the important work he's doing and for taking the time to share his knowledge with listeners of Nighttime. You'll definitely be hearing from him again on this show. Also, I'd like to thank everyone who's joined the UFOs Above Canada Facebook group. Since the launch of this series, the group has grown to about 1,000 strong, and the discussion has been very enjoyable. If you're interested in hearing more content, please check out the Nighttime Patron group. It's $1 a month, and you can support the show and access the supporter-exclusive bonus content, such as exclusive videos, bonus audio, and prior episodes no longer available in this main feed. You can join by visiting patreon.com/nighttimepodcast. I'd like to thank the current patrons of the show and welcome the newest members to the group. Kathy, Lori, Nervy Twig, Jen, John, Ethan, Kate, and Jody, I sincerely appreciate you supporting Nighttime by becoming a patron last month. For anyone else who'd like to support the show but can't financially, you can help by telling your friends about the show and leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or the equivalent. If any of you listening want to stay up to date with my activities both on and off the show, follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I use the handle @NighttimePod. If you have any story ideas or feedback, I'd love to hear from you at nighttimepodcast@gmail.com. So until next time, keep looking around and let me know when you see something weird.
The Nighttime Podcast is written, hosted, and produced by Jordan Bonaparte. Copyright Jordan Bonaparte.
Is that? My name is Ryan Sprague. When I was 12 years old, I saw something in the sky that I couldn't explain, and I've been searching for answers ever since. And now, I want you to join me on that search. As part of Entertainment One's podcast network, this is the Somewhere in the Skies podcast. Every week, I sit down with people in all walks of life to discuss UFOs, the paranormal and esoteric, and just plain weird. From the worlds of academia, psychology, theology, science and tech, entertainment and art, and everything in between. We dig deep back here on the ground to find those ever-elusive answers somewhere in the skies. New episodes every Monday available on all major podcast outlets and at somewhereintheskies.com. Remember, keep your feet on the ground, but never stop searching somewhere in the skies.
What the f is that?
I'm gonna just say something on this. Hello, this is Dominic. If you go on YouTube, type in Dominic's Toy Demoy, and you will find me and Daddy on videos, in Waggles, and all kinds of stuff.